conqueror. Being overcomers with Christ is the theme of my Lenten preaching series, and I'm inviting us to reflect on some aspects of experiencing Christ's victory over sin, division, and death. The subject of this fourth Sunday of Lent is overcoming opposition to our faith in Christ. A Christian is a witness to the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. We represent the crucified Lord by repenting of any sins we have committed. Repentance means more than sorrow for sin, which is an important first step, but then it means to cooperate with God to sanctify the mind, to make the mind holy, so that we may engage in holy actions. And so repentance also includes rejecting any invitation to sin and renouncing its mastery over us. That is what we're going to do when we renew our baptismal promises on Easter Sunday. As we grow in discipleship, others will detect that something, or rather someone, is influencing how we are thinking, speaking, and acting. And these are concrete signs that we are risen with Christ, for we rise to glorify God by our lives. The events of today's gospel reading happened way before the Lord's death and resurrection. However, its lessons teach us how to grow in faith when dealing with those who oppose us precisely because we have faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus performed miracles for the sake of those who needed the miracle. However, these miracles also provided an underlying message. A blind man was healed by the Lord, and the blind man's perception about the identity of Jesus and his relationship with Jesus became clearer, even as he endured opposition from others. He was cooperating with the gift of faith which had come from Jesus. During the time of the gospel reading, the local economy was dominated by professions that required physical labor. So, for people like the man who was born blind, they had to be relegated to a roadside to beg for their survival. And he was physically, socially, emotionally, psychologically, maybe even spiritually, on the margins of life. For there was a theological opinion in those days that one suffered illness as a punishment from God due to personal sin or familial sin. You heard the disciples ask Jesus the question, and Jesus firmly rejected this opinion. Whatever the cause of the man's blindness, Jesus replied that God was going to bring good out of the situation. The newly healed person walked now with sight, and his neighbors and others who had seen him begging noticed a change in his life. They were curious. They were not opposed. They wanted to know what had happened to him. And so the man testified about the man called Jesus. Jesus had approached him, anointed his eyes with clay, told him to wash in the Siloam pool, and now he could see. Then the newly healed person was brought to the Pharisees, who were being contentious and later on were contemptuous of him. They were upset because they thought Jesus had performed a work on the Sabbath by forming the anointing clay, if you will. But the newly healed man said Jesus was a prophet and a man from God. And now some of the neighbors who at once were curious now are questioning whether he had been born blind in the first place. Yet courageously, the newly healed man proclaims that he still believes in what the Lord had done in his life, and he was going to stand by his conviction. And his convictions remained solid, even though his parents were being cowardly. They were questioned about how their son was healed, and they refused to answer. And finally, the newly healed person was expelled from the synagogue. And when this man met Jesus again, he accepted that Jesus is the Son of Man, which was a title used in the Old Testament about a significant figure sent from God, and he worshiped Jesus as the Lord. The newly healed man had his perception about Jesus sharpened over time, even amid opposition and complacency. First, he testified about the man called Jesus. Then he said that Jesus is a prophet and a man from God. And then he affirmed that Jesus is the Son of Man and worshiped Jesus as the Lord. Just because one has opposition because they have faith in Christ doesn't mean that they're doing something wrong. In fact, you're doing something right. Everyone is not going to be happy that we are professing faith in Christ and striving to follow him consistently with conviction. People are okay if we're ambiguous about our Christian faith, or we're apathetic about it, or we're reticent about it. A lot of people are talking about March Madness. People have brackets all over the place. As an aside, you know, as a member of the class of 1989 from Princeton University, if your brackets were busted because they beat Arizona and now Missouri, I don't regret that at all. A lot of people talk about March Madness, talk about the brackets. But if we're willing to talk about that or this or whatever, and then we become reticent when people say, well, what church do you go to? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why are you a member of the Catholic Church? And we become reticent. We're saying that these other topics are far more important to talk about than the one who gives us eternal life and the one who has called us to follow him within his church. The person who was healed simply told others what Jesus had done in his life. And when people discover that we are disciples of Christ within his church, they will have similar reactions as the man in the gospel reading faced. Curiosity, contention, contempt, criticism, or cowardice. Overcomers with Christ are willing to be consistent and courageous. They've been captivated by the love of God. The gift of faith came from God, and no one can take it away from them. Overcomers with Christ are willing to testify about how God has been at work in their lives. Receiving the gift of faith daily will sharpen our perspective about how God is present. Sometimes we make the mistake that faith must be accompanied by feelings if we think that we have faith or we're growing in faith. Faith is an act of the will. Certainly, we want to be uplifted by our faith, but we cannot box God in and say that our faith must always be accompanied by our feelings. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in feelings. The Word of God tells us that God is present in the gathering of his church. God is present as we read the scriptures, learning about our identity in God and our inheritance from God. I'm sure the man who was blind at first was questioning, well, why is he putting clay on my eyes? And now I have to go to Siloam, but he did it. He didn't wait for feelings. be trusted in God as an act of the will. God is present in the celebration of the sacraments, in which signs chosen and consecrated by God nurtures and strengthens us. And God is present as we serve others within our families, among our neighbors, even among our co-workers, our fellow students, our fellow parishioners, the wider community, through works of mercy. To be a Christian is to be a witness to the crucified, risen, and ascended Lord. And we cannot become intimidated by those who oppose our witness. Indeed, some who are intimidated really admire us, and they want to cut us down to size. But we line ourselves up with God, and we're not ashamed to identify with him, who has called us to follow him within his church. And God empowers us to be of good influence in the lives of others. That's what's happening with the man who had been healed in the gospel reading today. Certainly he was not aware of the great impact of his testimony that would reverberate across the centuries, even here in Randallstown. God will offer opportunities in everyday conversations to give witness about the presence and power of our loving and merciful God. Even testifying that we are willing to trust God when it may be hard to see what God is doing at times will also bless those who hear this testimony. And God will use our testimony to open the path of faith for others. God will use our testimony to encourage fellow disciples not to give up. To be a Christian is to be guided by the light of Christ as the path for life on this earth to the life to come, which is eternal. And we are not ashamed to declare our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ in every circumstance, regardless of the reaction of others. Even when it seems that we may be standing alone, we are never alone, as the newly healed man discovered when he was expelled from the synagogue, not even supported by his parents, but the Lord was there to receive him. The same power of God at work during the passion, death, and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is at work within us. The same power that was given to the first disciples 50 days after Easter on Pentecost is also at work in our lives. We're overcomers with Christ because we're over to overcome opposition to our faith in Christ. Even among those who are curious, contentious, contemptuous, critical, or cowardly, captivated by the love of God, we're willing to affirm in whom we believe and why we believe.